Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get an update from the Red Bulls 1st Brigade, and we'll meet Team Red, White, and Blue. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
During the month of May, we honor and celebrate National Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. As Representative Keith Ellison said, you can't really understand America without understanding the contributions of Asian Americans. Some of the significant contributions that Asian Americans have made to our society are through their participation in the armed forces. For example, in Minnesota, we have a significant connection to the Asian American community's participation in the armed forces. According to the Twin Cities Japanese American Citizens League, many Japanese Americans who served in the military intelligence during World War II were educated at Camp Savage, Minnesota. The students received accelerated training as interrogators, translators, and interpreters. Military commanders later wrote that the graduates of this program may have shortened the Pacific War by as many as 2 years. The much vaunted and storied 442nd Regimental Combat Team of the United States Army, which was an American-Japanese unit, has a significant connection to our own 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. The 442nd was a self-sufficient fighting force and fought with uncommon distinction in Italy, southern France, and Germany. The unit became the most highly decorated regiment in the history of the United States Armed Forces, including 21 Medal of Honor recipients. The 442nd fought alongside the Red Bulls during the Italian campaign of World War II. I salute our Asian Pacific American community. You have and continue to contribute significantly to the United States of America.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Lieutenant Colonel Tim Kemp, Commander of the 1st Squadron, 94th Cavalry of the 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team, and full-time staff officer in charge. Colonel Kemp, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Very happy to be here to represent all the soldiers of 1st Brigade.
Legendary Red Bulls.
Roger.
Sir, can you tell us how long you've been in the military?
I'm approaching 18 years now in the military, so and been blessed to spend most of that here in Minnesota with the Red Bulls, with the brigade and the division and Drill Force headquarters.
And you've been through a lot of different positions. As you go through the ranks and move your way up, things get more and more important and more difficult, I would guess.
Yeah, Roger. And they like to keep you moving and keep you developed, you know, so the progression is rapid, but it's been a blessing.
Sir, could you explain to our listeners, I think a lot of people in Minnesota think everybody in the Army National Guard is a Red Bull. That's not really true, is it?
It's pretty close, but yeah, the Red Bulls are, 34th Infantry Division, headquartered out of Rosemont, and that's the division headquarters, and then we have the 1st Brigade, 34th Infantry Division, which I am part of. That's out of headquarters out of Bloomington. And we're spread all over the state, you know, and so that's why you see the Red Bulls the most in the state. We also have a Combat Aviation Brigade that's around the Twin Cities and St. Cloud. So there's a lot of us, so it's mostly what you see, but it's not all Red Bulls.
And the division, 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, actually is the 1st Brigade Combat Team here in Minnesota, the 2nd Brigade Combat Team down in Iowa.
Correct.
And you've got soldiers from several states surrounding.
Correct. There's something called the Line for Training Agreement that was published by National Guard Bureau where, for example, the 116th ABCT out of Idaho is also part of the division headquarters for that purpose. And they look to the division for training guidance and so on and so forth.
Now, sir, when I introduced you, we talked about your weekend position and your full-time position. Mm-hmm. Could you explain that to us?
Yeah, I'm the officer in charge of the full-time staff of the brigade, which we have around 200 individuals in the brigade that are full-time to support the almost 4,000 soldiers that are part of the ABCT, the Armored Brigade Combat Team. And then as one of the units within the brigade is the squadron, 194 Cavalry out of headquarters out of Duluth, but, the whole northeastern portion of the state. So cavalry and reconnaissance is the specialty of the squadron.
So full-time during the week, you're the officer in charge and an important member of the division. And then when it comes to weekend training, you're the commander of the 1st Squadron, 94th Cav.
Yep, so I get to go down and be closer to the soldiers on drill weekends and train with them, which is great.
I'll bet that's a nice break.
It is. It's nice to shift gears a little bit, think about a couple different things, in a different perspective. So it's good.
Sir, I'd like to ask you, we've been covering a lot of events over the last couple of years. The division has been busy.
Mm-hmm.
We had on a couple of years ago, Colonel Kurska. I think he led the warfighter exercise, which was down in, was that Kansas?
It was down in Kansas at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and he was the chief of staff of the division, with General Loydalt was the commanding general at that time in 2014, June, I believe. And the division did a great job there, and it once again, you know, put the Red Bulls on the map when it came to the entire Army understanding, you know, that Minnesota's got something special going on with the Red Bulls and the soldiers we have.
And after that, then they participated in the Exportable Combat Training Capabilities exercises in 2015. There's kind of a series of these things, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a sequence. It's built. The division headquarters has its own training line, so it does its warfighter, and it's separate than the brigades. But they have a tendency to kind of be on the same cycles. But the brigade also did a warfighter at the brigade level. It's a standalone brigade warfighter with all of the battalions and the battalion staffs participating in that to validate the combat staffs to say that they're ready to further progress and go to NTC, for example. And then the XCTC, we like to call it, the Exportable Combat Training Center, is to validate the platoon level maneuver and get a little at the company level. So you're looking at, you know, for example, a tank platoon of four tanks or Bradley platoon of four Bradleys underneath a lieutenant and a platoon sergeant. So that validates. And then you do company level maneuver at another echelon before you get to the big show, which is the National Training Center, where the entire brigade's maneuvering.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Tim Kemp on Minnesota Military Radio. And sir, I wanted to get to the NTC National Training Center. That was last year, and we covered that. And one of the interesting things was if you'd have put all those train cars together where you shipped out all of the equipment, they said it would be almost 9 miles long. And I think there were like 8 commercial aircraft to take all the soldiers out. And you all went out to California, collected up your equipment, and then you went into the box. Can
Roger.
You explain what that's all about, sir?
Yeah, it's an amazing event from the logistics piece that you just described, Tom, you know, all the way until they arrive back, and the fact that it's to simulate that we got orders to deploy, and we have to rail load, and we have to move out. And so you're being evaluated from the very beginning, even here, using Camp Ripley as a force projection platform, basically, to then move to the National Training Center. And then you fall on your equipment out in the middle of that Dust Bowl. It's called Dust Bowl for a reason. An austere environment, and you have to prep it for combat, and then you move out into the box. So we then deploy out into and maneuver against the National Training Center's opposing force. That's a professional active duty military unit that role plays, you know, some enemy's tactics
on their ground.
On their ground, which they know extremely well.
And by all reports we've received, the Minnesota National Guard did a great job.
Yeah, it was. I think it was once again a confirmation that, you know, the Red Bulls and the brigade can prepare and can meet any mission. And as we discussed off air, you know, we left there and we were considered at that point the most readied brigade in the Army, not just Guard, but in the Army.
And I'm reading from your page here, and it says that you got through that with only minor injuries. The brigade executed one of the safest and most successful rotations in the training center. And lastly, with a coordinated effort among several other major commands in the Minnesota National Guard, the 134th Maintenance came back with all that equipment,
mm-hmm.
and got it in shape in a very short period of time, ensuring the brigade's status as the U.S. Army's most ready brigade for 2017. Nobody talked about the fact that you had to load up all of that equipment, get it all the way back up to Camp Ripley, and
Roger.
Then your mechanics up in Camp Ripley had to go through everything, didn't
they? Yeah, they did an amazing job. So, yeah, we had a deadline to hit when we came back to report that all of our equipment was ready and operational. We call it an operational readiness rate. And it came back, and the maintenance facility out at Camp Ripley, along with a small few augmentees from part-time support that came on orders, returned all of that equipment back to operational readiness in a very short turn, I think just in 30 days to 6 weeks. And we abuse it out at NTC. That terrain is unforgiving, but they got it right back, and so therefore it prepared us for what we're doing this year.
And as we said there, it ensured that the brigade status as the U.S. Army's most ready brigade for 2017, because that was the top training event of the year. Is that correct?
Correct. Well, there's that, and then our personnel readiness and our soldiers being deployable, but all the medical and everything else that they have to do and go through. And then, of course, that equipment we just referred to, all that is rolled up into what they say is readiness. So the brigade was not only most prepared because of the training event, but because all the good work everybody did to get there.
Sir, we're just about out of time for this segment, but that all leads up to the fact that you're prepared for 2017, and there's a lot coming up for this year. So please stay with us. We'll be right back with Lieutenant Colonel Tim Kemp and talk about what's coming up for 2017 for our Red Bulls. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Lieutenant Colonel Tim Kemp, commander of the 1st Squadron, 94th Cavalry, and his full-time job is officer in charge of the 1st Brigade Combat Team Red Bulls here in the Twin Cities. And sir, we went through 2015, 2016. The division has been through this cycle where they went to Warfighter and did a great job. They went to XCTC, Exportable Combat Training Capabilities exercises, and then they went last year to the NTC, the National Training Center, which was the top training event of the year. And that left the brigade in a status as the U.S. Army's most ready brigade for 2017. That's quite a cycle that you go through, sir.
Yeah, Roger, and it's it'll continue here in the future. The brigade is preparing once again to go back to the National Training Center in 2020. So it's part of a new readiness model with the Armored Brigade Combat Teams to try to increase the overall proficiency across the Army.
So, sir, essentially your reward for performing well the last few years and being at the top of the heap is there's plenty coming up for 2017.
Yeah, you just continue to roll. Hopefully you learned a little bit from the first rotation, so it was a little bit easier and more successful the second time, but it was very successful the first time.
But, Colonel, you've got a couple of deployments coming up, and one of them is going over to Europe. And I understand that all those soldiers up at Camp Ripley that did such a good job of loading up that equipment and shipping it out to the desert and then bringing it back and tuning it up have already loaded it up and shipped it out again.
Yeah, they just did rail load just a week ago, and it's actually sitting down in port now in Beaumont down in Texas, right outside of Houston, and it's on its way over to Lithuania and Latvia here. And then in June, the soldiers will meet up with their equipment, fly over there, meet up their equipment, and they're going to maneuver along with multitude of different countries, European countries, to provide a it's called Atlantic Resolve, which is, of course, to show the European and the United States' resolve to defend Europe.
And are they referring to that exercise as Saber Strike?
Sir? Yes, it's called Saber Strike.
Now, who all is participating in that?
Well, for us, for the brigade, it's 2136 Infantry, headquartered out of Moorhead, is the Combined Arms Battalion. So there are tanks and Bradleys, and so infantrymen and armor, crewmen, are deploying over there to participate in that event. So they'll be maneuvering in some training areas and also just cross country over there.
So once again, logistics is the key. You've got to ship all of that equipment. You've got to line up all the soldiers. You got to get them to the right spot at the right time. And then once you get over to Europe, I understand you're going to travel through more than one country.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, they're going to do Saber Strike in Lithuania and Latvia. And then that equipment, a portion of it, a company team, about a quarter of it, is going to be loaded up on a ferry, and it's going to be taken over to Sweden. And it's going to stay there for a little while until September, where then 10194 Armor, headquartered out of Brainerd, will then fall in. A company team will fall in on that equipment, and they're going to do training with the Swedes. So not only are we showing the country's resolve in the Baltic states, but also over in Sweden, who has a requirement, and they want to show that they have interoperability with us, and we can get our equipment there to support them.
So once again, sir, it's training, training, training.
Yeah.
And if you can simulate an emergency and load up your equipment and your men and ship them over to Europe and get to a destination, then if you ever had to do that in real time,
mm-hmm.
you've been there and you've done it and you've got that experience, and the next time it's going to be a little easier.
Yeah, like we've talked about NTC and that logistics effort there. The team now, even though people have moved around different positions, the sustainers have got those moves down and they've got their standard operating procedures. And this was a little bit less of an effort, as in it was easier because people knew more what they needed to do, but it's really sends a statement to whoever, is going to try to be an aggressor in Europe against the European nations or allies, that we can move tanks and Bradleys very rapidly, even from the center of the country in Minnesota in a National Guard unit, and they're ready to go forward.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Tim Kemp on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, can you give us the big picture on this? Now, I've heard the term one army, and I think what they're talking about is active duty army, the National Guard army, and, of course, the reserves, Army Reserves.
Yep.
And out of the Pentagon, they must be thinking, okay, we've got active duty troops, we've got reserve troops, we've got guard troops, we've got an awful lot of things to do. and somebody has to figure out who's doing them. And since you're at the top of the readiness status, you're right there with the active duty and taking a big part in that.
Yeah, there's a it's called Army National Guard 4.0 is what Lieutenant General Cadavé, who is the director of Army National Guard, calls it. But it's an initiative by the Chief of Staff of the Army and the Forces Commander to line us up along with the active duty units and to have a sustained readiness throughout. So if something does happen where we need to deploy forward, we'll be right behind the active duty units that are already forward positioned to get into country anywhere and to, you know, address any aggression that's there. So there's a model now. It's a four-year model where right now, as it stands, we're going back to NTC in 2020, and we'll be doing the same thing 4 years later if the model continues. And because based on the global strategic threat, the analysis being done by the Department of the Army, they need armored brigade combat teams to be more ready, and they're going to need them more often in the future. So, you know, it's good to see that they're willing to spend the resources and prepare us, you know, so our soldiers can go do their mission and come home.
Well, Colonel, it seems like over the last decade and particularly the last 6.5 years that we've been on the radio following, everything that the Minnesota National Guard does, that, whenever you're deployed, for instance, when we were at Kuwait last year, there were reserve troops, there were guard troops, there were active duty troops, and the division's been deployed a lot in over the last decade and longer than that. The active duty troops and the other divisions must be used to seeing the Red Bulls by now.
They are, and it's pretty amazing when you meet up with, it doesn't matter where we go, usually they see the Red Bull patch, and then someone has a story to say, hey, I saw that worked under the division over in Iraq, or I, you know, did a left seat, right seat ride with so-and-so from some company or some battalion from the Red Bulls, and I have yet to run into someone who has anything negative to say. It's always a bright face and a smile, and they talk about, you know, how well it went and how we end up setting them up for success, or how they saw our soldiers doing great and wonderful things. So,
well, Colonel, one of the things that I guess is part of life is that every year a certain number of your soldiers are going to retire, and every year you're going to get new soldiers in on the other
end.
Oh,
yeah.
And all of these different training exercises going in a rotation year after year after year must allow you to keep your readiness status up and to pass some of that that information and knowledge on to the next generation.
Yeah, it's really building a great bench and proficiency throughout the formation that you can't, that just doesn't go away. You know, as we have a specialist, for example, in my squadron, there was five soldiers that their very first event they did in the National Guard was go to the National Training Center. That's the first thing they did. And the next time they go through, they're going to be sergeants. They'll be buck E5s for probably, or E6s for the next rotation. And they're just going to get better and better as they go, and it'll be a great thing for formation.
So they say, I remember this,
yep.
And now I'm a sergeant, and there's some things I think we can do better, and
yep,
away we go, and maybe the lieutenants or majors now. And
exactly.
Of course, you're a colonel, and you've been to a number of these things, so you don't really lose that much. You lose some valuable people when people retire.
Roger.
But you still have to fill back in and be ready, don't you?
Yeah, Roger, and it's exciting to see. You know, when you all of a sudden come back around and then you see that same individual that was a specialist the last time or a lieutenant the last time, and now he's a captain or a major, and watching him execute based on his experience, it makes it all worth it.
And passing along that knowledge has got to be great. Sir, we just got about a minute left. We've got listeners on 40 stations all over Minnesota that tune in every week to listen to the show. If some of those young people were thinking about a career in the Army National Guard, what would you have to say to them?
Well, number one is you're going to be getting involved in a very professional organization that takes what we do very seriously, and really the blessing to serve both Minnesotans in domestic operations and if there's a flood or whatever else, and then also have the capability to, like we just described, to get ready enough to forward employ or deploy to Europe and to show the rest of the world that the United States is prepared with the Red Bull patch forward, it's an honor. And it's been a great part of my life and my family's experience. And then I want to thank the employers out there that, you know, with all this readiness, everything we had going on the last couple of years, for their flexibility and support of their soldier. And I can, you know, ensure them that the nation's thankful, and so will the Swedes, and so will the Baltic states and those people there, based on the fact that we're going to be able to show that we can get there and support them.
Sir, I would think that when your soldiers were out at NTC and spent 2 weeks out in the desert up against an aggressor that was top-notch, when they come back to work and just go back to work where nobody's shooting at them, they're not in the desert, and they just have a job to get done, that experience is going to suit them very well, and they're going to be good employees.
Yeah, there's not a better leadership development event than National Training Center. It puts that young staff sergeant or sergeant out there all on his own in the middle of the desert with his men and women. With a very difficult task to solve, and if he or she can do that, then they have a new perspective on any of the problems that they run into in any other part of their lives.
Colonel, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio, and we hope to have you back on with some more updates of all of the exploits of the Red Bulls in the future.
Roger, thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you, sir. That was Lieutenant Colonel Tim Kemp from our Minnesota Red Bulls. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet Team Red, White, and Blue. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet Team Red, White, and Blue. But now it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
This morning, I want to spend a few minutes recognizing mothers across Minnesota. These mothers might be veterans. They might be currently serving and in harm's way. Or they might have suffered the loss of their son or daughter in service to our country. This is a time when the community comes together to acknowledge and thank mothers for their love, guidance, and nurturing. The influence of mothers has a tremendous impact on families and society overall. Whatever your situation, I want to thank you for the role you have played in the lives of our children and families across Minnesota. This Mother's Day, I encourage mothers to spend time teaching their children the importance of service and volunteerism to community, to those in need, and to our country. On behalf of everyone here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the nearly 400,000 veterans across this great state, I wish you a fun and joyous day of celebration.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Emily Seddon is a civilian member of Team Red, White, and Blue and volunteers as the co-captain for the Twin Cities and St. Cloud chapter. Emily, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us here.
Emily, can you tell me a little bit, what type of work do you do and how did you get involved in Team Red, White, and Blue?
Sure. Team Red, White, and Blue helps enrich the lives of America's veterans through physical and social activity. So that's the formal way of saying that we get together to work out and eat and have fun and just build a community here that supports our veterans. I got involved with Team Red, White, and Blue over 5 years ago now, in 2011.
No, you're not a veteran.
I am not a veteran, but I was going through my own transition. And a veteran friend said, hey, I know this great group of people. We go for a run every week. You should come and join us. And the selling point for me was, you can bring your dog. So I showed up.
So a veteran led you astray is what you're telling me.
Right. Okay. I wasn't sure what I was getting into, but I trusted my friend, and it sounded like a good way to get out and meet some new people at a point that I really was looking for a community. And from day one, I've been hooked. People were so welcoming, wanted to know my story, but if we just wanted to run fast so I couldn't talk and run in silence, that was okay too.
So now we know the trick. If you're talking too much, we're going to run fast.
Right.
All right. I was looking at the website this morning and it said Team Red, White, and Blue's mission is to enrich the lives of Americans' veterans by connecting them to their community through physical and social activity. And clearly it's open to non-veterans as well.
It is. It's been an important part of Team Red, White, and Blue's mission since the beginning. The veteran community is great and so supportive, and we want to make sure that when our veterans are coming home or while they're still serving, they are well connected to their communities so that they have support and can share their gifts.
And so Team Red, White, and Blue, did you say, has been around for how long?
It started in 2010, and actually the first official event nationwide was the Twin Cities Marathon in 2010.
So it started right here in Minneapolis.
It did. It did.
And are there chapters in St. Cloud and Duluth, is that right?
Correct. So the St. Cloud chapter is kind of our leadership, volunteer leadership team is combined with the Twin Cities, and then there's another chapter up in Duluth.
And how is Team Red, White, and Blue organized? Is it a 501c3? Is it a charitable?
Yeah, it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and it functions really as a team of teams. So it's a national nonprofit, but across the world, mostly in the United States, but across the world, we have 214 different chapters.
And I did my homework. So I was studying your website today, and it says it's about the enrichment equation. Enrichment equals health plus people plus purpose. How does that all fit into everything?
That's right. So every week here in the Twin Cities, we have opportunities to get together and really connect with people, build organic relationships. And we do that through the vehicle of workouts usually. Often after a workout, we need to go eat. The joke is that we are a workout group with an eating problem. So rather than a running group.
Well, you burn the calories first and then you go get them.
Right, right. So all in good fun. And we really bring people together and give them opportunities to volunteer and lead in their community.
So is part of this an attempt to get the veterans out and interacting with other people and also get them to exercise and then socialize?
Exactly. We know that the combination of those things is really powerful for anybody, veteran or not.
Could be healing even.
Yes.
All right. And there's another tidbit that I picked off the website that talks about Eagle ethos. And it says that you share an ethos, a set of guiding beliefs and ideals that characterize our community. The Eagle ethos was crafted using six words that uniquely characterize Team Red, White, and Blue and distinguish organizations from others. And those words are passion, people, positivity, commitment, camaraderie, and community. So this is really much more than just some people getting together and going for a run, isn't it?
It is. Team Red, White, and Blue is its own identity. We call it being an eagle, right? So you can see people in an airport and recognize the logo on their shirt or on their wristband that they're wearing. And that ethos is able to bring us all together under one identity. So whether you're a veteran, a civilian, currently serving, or reserve, whatever your story is, you can be part of this Team RWB identity.
And so part of that is to find other people that have similar thoughts and want to do similar things and get together and maybe stress down a little bit.
Yeah, we want to welcome anybody who's positive about addressing the challenges in our community and wants to be in a military supportive environment.
We're speaking with Emily Seddon from Team Red, White, and Blue on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Emily, how can people get involved with Team Red, White, and Blue if they have an interest?
It's really easy. You just have to show up.
Where do they show up? When and where?
Officially, you can join Team Red, White, and Blue through our website, teamrwb.org, and that will get you connected to the chapter that's closest to you, so whether it's St. Cloud, the Twin Cities, or Duluth. And then it's free. There's no official time commitment. So that's where the Just Show Up comes in. You'll get an email that has our weekly schedule. We have a number of workouts throughout the week, as well as coffee, food to get food opportunities to get together and eat. And then we also have special events that you'll find out through our emails. And you can also find us on Facebook.
So you essentially set up a calendar that each chapter will schedule their runs and maybe pick different restaurants they're going to afterwards, and you don't know who's going to show up, but somebody does.
Right. Our calendar can be found on teamrwb.org if you look up the Twin Cities chapter.
So what's the high and low? How many people show up to these things?
So a small event is two people, right? It's just two friends getting together to go for a run. The workouts typically tend to be smaller, so 5 to 10 people usually at the weekly workouts. But then we have larger events throughout the year, especially when we partner with other veteran support organizations that can have a couple hundred people at them.
So how does Team Red, White, and Blue work with other veteran service organizations?
So we work really closely with other newer veteran service organizations and the kind of existing VFWs and Legions. We have really close partnerships with The Mission Continues, Team Rubicon, Wounded Warrior Project here locally, and some of the veteran employee resource groups to put on service projects or larger scale runs. In April, we had a nationwide event called Run as One here in the Twin Cities, where we had over 100 people come together for a run, a service project, and a chili cook-off.
So, Emily, I saw on the website that there was a section up there where you could donate to Team Red, White, and Blue, and you say you have some events. When you're raising funds, what do you do with the money?
So the money that Team Red, White, and Blue raises goes to either the chapter program like we have here in the Twin Cities or the kind of complementary program, Team RWB's second program, which is leadership development. So the leadership development program puts on trainings and camps and opportunities for Team RWB members to grow as leaders of their community. So the money goes to both of those programs, and I would encourage everyone with a few extra dollars to support Team Red, White, and Blue.
Emily, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the upcoming events. We're speaking with Emily Seddon from Team Red, White, and Blue on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Emily Seddon about Team Red, White, and Blue, who has chapters here in the Twin Cities, in St. Cloud, and in Duluth. And Emily, the mission of Team Red, White, and Blue is to enrich the lives of Americans' veterans and some non-veterans like yourself by connecting them to their community through physical and social activity. And can you just kind of recap for us, how do you do that?
Sure. It means that we're getting together throughout the week, throughout the year with workouts, runs, socials, service projects, and working with other veteran service organizations to bring together a community of veterans and civilians so that our communities overall are stronger.
And we learned you did that in a really good way because you go burn the calories and then you go to a cafe or a restaurant and then you eat.
We definitely like to eat.
That sounds like a good way to do it. I burned 1,500 calories. How much can I eat here?
Exactly.
That works for me. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about that you work with some other veteran service organizations and support them. You do a little fundraising. You're a 501c3 charitable foundation and that you do some fundraising via events. Can you tell us what type of events you have coming up?
Sure. We have a great service project coming up on June 10th. So we all know Memorial Day is at the end of this month, a big day of remembrance for Fort Snelling National Cemetery. And about 2 weeks later, the cemetery staff need help cleaning up. They still have to mow the lawn and keep the grounds beautiful all summer long. So we partner with The Mission Continues, Team Rubicon, the Wounded Warrior Project, and Medtronics, Veteran Employee Resource Group, to host a cleanup. So this will be our third year doing it on June 10th. We'll have two shifts, a morning shift that starts around 9 and an afternoon shift that starts at 1.
So you're out there helping the retired Colonel Knapp clean up Fort Snelling after his biggest weekend of the year.
Exactly.
And we're going to have him on the special edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day from 6 to 9 a.m. that morning. Like we've done for each and every year, and he'll tell us all about what's going on out there and the thousands and thousands of people that go out there to visit their military and veterans who have passed. So what other events do you have coming up?
So we also have events that happen throughout the summer. Team Red, White, and Blue has a couple national events coming in June and July. June 3rd, we call it Eagle Ride Day. Across the country, our chapters will be hopping on their bikes to kind of a sea of red shirts with our logo on them, biking around to both raise awareness for the organization and really demonstrate to the community that nationwide we are a team of teams. You can go anywhere in the country and find this community.
So here in Minnesota, there are chapters in the Twin Cities, St. Cloud, and Duluth. And if someone wants to join for some exercise and some socializing, where do they go and what's your website again?
To join Team Red, White, and Blue, which is free and doesn't come with an official time commitment, you go to teamrwb.org.
Just sign up right there on the website.
Sign up right there. There's a button that says join the team. You click on that. You'll be associated automatically based on your zip code where with the chapter that's closest to you. You'll get an email from us that has our schedule. You'll get a welcome from our members. So we just want to open arms, we're going to welcome everyone to the team.
So if there's a run or the weekly runs or an event or some type of gathering, all they have to do is take a look at that calendar and show up.
Exactly. It's really easy.
And you say that they all wear the red shirts and stuff. Where do they get the merchandise?
So the teamrwb.org website has a storefront. You can order shirts there. We're in the process of transitioning to a new platform, so May might be a little bit low stock, but we'll definitely get you a shirt if you're interested. And when veteran members sign up, they'll receive a free T-shirt.
Okay, so one more time, what's the website?
TeamRWB.org.
Team RWB stands for Red, White, and Blue. TeamRWB.org.
Correct.
All right, all you veterans out there that are sitting around this weekend, go to that website and sign up and go start going for some runs, and then you can have your cupcake and coffee afterwards.
Exactly. Come join us for a workout.
Emily, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
This is Emily Seddon from Team Red, White, and Blue here on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now all the way from Norway via telephone is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks, Tom. It's so great to be with you, and isn't technology great?
Yeah, technology. We got a time difference, and you're halfway across the world. And we just finished talking to Team Red, White, and Blue all about their ability to get veterans and service members together to do a little physical training, a little run, and then a little socializing with a little coffee afterwards. That's something you'd probably recommend for your troops.
Yeah, you know, I've had the opportunity to visit with some of the members of Team Red, White, and Blue, and you know, if there's that person out there, that veteran, that service member that maybe needs a little bit more motivation, that team absolutely can provide that to them. And what great benefits that go along with being a member of Team Red, White, and Blue. Not only some discounts at, you know, gyms or memberships at different gyms, but just that camaraderie that soldiers get to build or airmen get to build, service members in general get to build with other members of Team Red, White, and Blue. So real happy to be a partner with those guys.
I can see you now, Sergeant Major, telling your soldiers, get out there and run, but get off my grass. can't walk on a Sergeant Major's grass, right?
Well, I don't post on the corner and wait for someone to walk across the grass, but definitely need to get out and do some PT because you know how important it is to be physically fit, especially in the line of work that we are in.
So even at my age, Sergeant Major, I go for a 4 or 6 mile hike as often as I can, and it's keeping me on the air, so it's a good thing. Now, sir, what are you doing in Norway?
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to come over to Norway and participate in the Central European Army's Non-Commissioned Officer Conference. And there's about 34 different countries here, European countries that are here for this conference, and really an opportunity to get to know the other senior non-commissioned officers throughout Europe. And for the European nations, the benefit here is it's another opportunity to get to know somebody, to get to know who they are, what they're all about, before you actually have to work with them in a real-world situation. And, I mean, you know what the world situation is right now, and so everybody over here wants to work together to put together that unified front and make sure that they can all work together for that common goal.
Sergeant Major, I'm glad to hear that. I was afraid you were over there signing up for the Norwegian Home Guard.
Well, it wouldn't be a bad a deal, but I think I'm getting a little bit too old for that. You know, we're just very lucky. You know, unlike when you were over here not too long ago, we've had weather in the 60s, mid-60s. It's been sunny and beautiful, and yeah, we actually are able to wear a short-sleeve shirt, so it's a nice deal.
You get all those senior NCOs together, even the Lord's paying attention, sending you good weather, sir.
Yes, and we are very, very thankful for that, for sure.
Sergeant Major, you've struck a common theme that we've heard before, and that is you train, the Minnesota National Guard trains with your partners, Norway and Croatia, so that if and when you're needed, you know each other, you've trained together, you know how to work together, and it, it's all about the same thing we've talked about year in and year out, training, 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 so you're as prepared as you can be.
Yeah, it absolutely is, Tom. And, you know, there is nothing better than, you know, when I showed up here and I came to the first evening event and to see across the room my Norwegian counterparts, my Croatian counterparts, and, of course, the other country senior non-commissioned officers that I had the opportunity to meet with. And it's so good to see that familiar face, to know that we're all in this thing together, that we all want to support each other. And, yeah, it's a really good feeling. And that's why we keep doing these things, so that there's always that common ground that that we can work towards and work for.
Well, if we've learned one thing in the 6.5 years of this show is that there's some terrific people out of Norway and Croatia, and they're great partners.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And, you know, the relationship just continues to get stronger and stronger with every event, every day, every training thing that we do together. We just learn more and more about each other and the capabilities that we all bring to the table, because we do bring different or unique things to the table. And so it's really good to learn from our partners.
Sergeant Major, we're just about out of time. I hope you have a great trip over there and safe travels home.
Hey, Tom, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for letting me call in from over here in Norway. And I look forward to seeing you again in the studio. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Tim Kemp, Emily Seddon from Team Red, White, and Blue, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we get an update from the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota and hear about the Memorial Day Challenge. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.